at www.survive2thrive.net. That's survive, the number two, thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will host on Fridays, Hawk on Thursdays, Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays, Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These are trying times that look to be getting more and more challenging every day. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas, health that you will need to survive and thrive in these challenging times. Please keep in mind that these shows do cost money to air, and presently EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network, and your own health and ability to thrive in these times. Go to survive2thrive.net, that's www.survive2thrive.net, and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238, that's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com, that's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product can extend the life of your dehydrated food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. In essence, the EnerFood and coconut combined constitute a meal replacement, so that can extend the life of your stored foods. And in addition to giving you energy and nutrition that your body needs, it has a two-year shelf life. Take a look also at the organic cocoa mojo and coffee, as well as our other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners from time to time, so be sure to tune in often for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on these shows is truly helpful. We want to help reduce physical and other forms of suffering for you, your family, and community today and in the times that are coming. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy tonight's show.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, January 11th, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. And write that down, folks. You may need it for reference. Well, here we are in the second week of the year 2011, and this year has definitely not started with a mild whimper. 2011 has hit the ground running, and today I have so many things to talk about, my friends. I'm going to talk about falling birds, rotting fish, angry assassins, and also the future of this nation. The nation of the U.S. of anxiety. There will be many events influencing the moods of citizens. Because in our future, my friends, we're going to face times of frenzy, of delirium, of hysteria. And in the last 11 days of 2011, we are already getting an appetizer of what lies ahead. And those of you that have listened to my messages over the years have heard me pleading to prepare for these things. You have heard me share different categories of things that are looming and that are rushing towards us like a bullet train with no brakes and no reverse. My friends, we are in the season of judgment by the God above. And even though CNN denies it, it does not stop it from happening. The natural mind of man rejects anything that conflicts with its comfort zone and pleasurable living for the now. Therefore, it rejects the notion of a divine, and especially a divine judgment. But you know, folks, that doesn't matter. Because God is still shaking America. And He's shaking this planet. He's shaking nations, continents, mountains, and valleys. He is, at this moment, revealing that He is real. Folks, God is real. God exists. There is a Creator that made you. And my friends, be not deceived. This divine judgment that God is bringing will be felt by everyone. Pastors, hold on to your pulpits, because the ground beneath your feet is going to shake. Tell your congregations and your people that God is moving in judgment. They need to know what is going on. My friends, here on this program, We talk about what is going on. And for the longest time, the newspapers and the headlines denied that these things were happening. But it's hard to lie to the people when rotting fish are stinking up the shoreline. It's hard to deny judgment when dead birds are hitting the windshield of your car and littering lawns worldwide. My friends, the voices have been trying to warn for years that perilous events were approaching. And many people laughed, many mocked and scoffed, many ignored and dismissed them, but it doesn't matter. These tactics have not stopped the judgment, and many of you have tried warning your loved ones and your friends. And many of you have experienced mocking and scoffing and rejection. You know what it's like, and it's exhausting. And perhaps, some of the times, you may have been hurt. But my friend, your efforts were not in vain, and your continued efforts are not in vain. 2011, the new year has arrived, and from day one, we have already witnessed many strange sights and perilous events. So many things are happening at once right now. And as time allows, we will talk about as many as we can. But in today's program, I want to talk about dead creatures. I want to talk about the horrible shooting and the response to the shooting. If I have time, I will also talk about the demise of the dollar. And talking about these things is going to be an ongoing effort on this program. By the way, folks, quick announcement. I'm going to be sharing some very important information in the next few days on the Rick Wiles True News program, and it might air either Thursday or Friday. Rick and I have been speaking privately. There are some things that we need to share, and we're going to be sharing on that program. You will find them very, very important to hear because they have to do with the economic future of America and of the world. And as a result, they concern you. So please, please listen to it. You can find that program at truenews.com. That's TRUNEWS.com. So be looking for that. Also, I am working on message number 160 in my Watchman's Cry series of sermons. And that message is also going to contain a very intense sermon. I also plan to share a lot of information that is going to prove that right now we are in very, very dire economic times, that the days of the dollar are numbered, and that life is going to change for every one of us. So please be looking for that. So let's begin, folks. Here we are in the year 2011. So as we examine world events, we have to include the participation of God's hand. God is the maestro. He is the composer of world events right now, and He is allowing things to happen. He is allowing these things because in the big picture, we have biblical prophecy that is taking place right now. Therefore, God is allowing some things to happen, and He is steering this world to the fulfillment of many prophecies that we find in Scripture. Here we are in January the 11th, 11 days into the new year of 2011. And I find it very, very interesting, folks, that on day one, in the very early hours of January the 1st, the year started off with dead birds appearing in Arkansas. It started out with 4,000 to 5,000 blackbirds that fell on a small Arkansas town. The very odd thing about these deaths were that the blackbirds died of blunt trauma to their organs while they were in the air. So they died midair and then fell to the ground. They did not die by impacting the ground. So that's what makes it a very odd story. And after that story was reported on January the 1st, then we received another story that 100,000 drumfish also died in an Arkansas river. They weren't in the same area, but they were approximately 100 miles apart, but they were in the same state. So first, birds dropped dead from the skies, and then thousands of fish turned up dead. And these dead fish littered about 20 miles of river near Ozark, Arkansas. So with the deaths of these animals, scientists were baffled. And a lot of creative reasons for the cause were published. Many of them were speculation. Some of them were absurd. Some were just plain silly. For example, one person said that probably the birds were asleep all in one single tree when a washing machine type of thunderstorm sucked them into the air, confused them, and then fatally soaked them with water and then made them real cold so they got chilled and then disoriented them so that they flew straight down and crashed into the ground. So it was a freak storm of bad weather that did this. How absurd is that, folks? The birds became disoriented so they flew into the ground or they died of exposure. How many birds live in the cold? Folks, it's the middle of winter. Birds don't know how to be in the cold. This is absurd. So the scientists don't know what's going on. But when you have fish and birds both dying on the same day, it made it interesting. But the story did not stop there. Because since that story has been released, in the last week and a half of this month, we have seen now dead birds falling from the sky all over the United States, not just Arkansas. And now many reports have come out that dead birds are dying all around the world. In addition to dead birds, we are also seeing massive fish kills all around the world. And we're seeing these dead animals in Arkansas, Louisiana, Kentucky, Texas, Tennessee, Florida, Michigan, Maryland, Illinois, North Carolina. And in these countries, Brazil, Canada, Chile, China, Italy, Japan, New Zealand, the Philippines, South Korea, South Africa, Thailand, United Kingdom, Vietnam, and of course here in America. And some of the stories coming out are incredible. 100 tons of dead fish down in Brazil, 2 million dead fish in Maryland, thousands of dead turtle doves in Italy. The list goes on, folks. What's happening? What's causing this? That's the big question. What's killing these birds? What's killing the fish? Now, I find it very interesting that these events started on day one. Day one of this year, folks. Is that a coincidence? Was it just happenstance? Was it just some random thing? I know that some biologists and scientists are saying that birds die all the time and fish die all the time, but how coincidental is it that these are happening all at the same time? Of course it happens here and there, but for them to be happening all within several days worldwide? Folks, I do not believe that this is a normal occurrence because I believe that God is trying to get the attention of human beings on this planet, of humanity. And there's a lot of people right now that are wondering. In fact, it's one of the most popular Google searches right now. Bible prophecy, end time prophecy, dead animals, dead fish. Because a lot of people are now starting to wonder what's going on. So do I have an answer? Most of you that have been researching this story have probably already been exposed to the verse that a lot of people are talking about, which is found in Hosea. If you haven't seen this verse, it's really amazing, folks. Even secular news is quoting this verse. I've seen it on some blogs and some forums and some reports. People are asking, is this what's going on? But let me just read this verse right here in Hosea 4:3. It says, therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away, with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. And watch this, folks. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Now, that passage of scripture has to do with judgment from God. It has to do with a time when God judged Israel, but it also has to do with when God is going to judge the world for their sin. So what's going on, my friends? It's very clear and it's very plain and simple. We just read it from the Bible. Therefore, the earth will mourn. The earth will mourn, folks. The earth will be filled with grief. The earth will be filled with sorrow. Mourning means sorrow and sadness. Mourning means that better days have walked away. Mourning means that the land has been abandoned by better days. So, my friends, no matter how much people try to deny it and ignore it and misdirect it or dismiss it as just an old poetic verse found in the Old Testament, it's more than that, my friends. We are living in divine days right now. This earth is travailing. And all of creation on this earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the return of Christ. And as the return of Christ grows nearer and nearer, this earth is going to groan and travail in more dramatic ways. Because it's just like the birth of a child. As the birth gets closer, the contractions get closer, and the pain gets closer. Folks, right now, this earth is groaning, waiting to be redeemed. And here's the hard part of this whole matter. To get to the return of Christ, this earth is going to go through the prophesied days of woe. And those days will include many, many fearful sights. It will include seeing this planet reel to and fro. It's going to include seeing this planet experience a pole shift. It's going to include this planet going through massive, dramatic, incredible earth changes. And we can look at the book of Revelation and see many of the things that are included. We can go to the book of Isaiah and see many of the things that are included at the end of days before the return of Christ. We can read about the approach of a rogue astronomical body, and whether it's a comet or a giant asteroid or a distant dark star, great earth changes are also a part of this season. And as these earth changes happen, the land is going to shake and quake and rumble and vibrate. And that is exactly what we also see happening nationwide. We see that happening across America, in the New Madrid area, throughout the Midwest. All across the country, we are seeing many earthquakes. And it's not just limited to America. It's happening up and down the Pacific Rim. It's happening in Asia, all throughout the world. The frequency is on the increase. Folks, we are in the days of great woe. And that's what we need to realize. Everybody listening, we are no longer in normal days. Business as usual is a thing of the past. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24. In the scriptures, we can read about the awesome sights that are going to be visiting us. In addition to that, we're going to also be seeing a great upheaval with nations and kingdoms on this earth. We're going to be seeing war. We're going to see men battling one another with destruction. And finally, we will see the culmination of the final battle of Armageddon. Many fearful sights are in our future, my friends. We are going to see tyrannical governments, which are going to consume the entire planet. The tyrannical government, New World Order, One World Empire is going to take over this earth. And we're going to see police state fascism and communism. It's all foretold, my friends. Also, we are going to see a one world currency. And when that happens, this means that old world currencies will fail and be done away with, which also means that the present currency of the world gets nullified, which is the U.S. dollar. And when that happens, it will cause great and mighty chaos in this nation of America, in the nation of Yankee Doodle and apple pie. And the most amazing part of this story, my friends, is that many Americans do not know that Yankee Doodle lost the feather in his cap. And then he lost his cap entirely because he had to sell it for money and buy some food. And by the way, speaking of food, most Americans don't realize that the apple pie that they love as Americans will only be available to them at a food bank or a soup kitchen. And, well, actually, they might not even be serving pie at those places. And you know what, folks? Actually, it's not really a pie any longer. It's an old moldy brick of Top Ramen noodles, the poor man's pasta, and the future staple of Yankee Doodle's great-grandchildren. Nathan, you're painting a grim picture. I know, my friends. I don't like it either, any more than any of you do. And you know, folks, over the years I've shared many things that I do not like. And it has been over and over that I have also talked about the fourfold judgment on America. I've talked about the famine and the sword and the pestilence and the evil wild beasts that were going to be unleashed upon this earth. Evil beasts, dark satanic demonic hordes who will wreak havoc on the souls of men with great evil. The evil beast judgment is a part of the fourfold judgment. And this great evil, I have talked about many times, is going to infect weak minds with thoughts of terror, thoughts of murder and destruction. And I have talked about these demons who will seek to infect unsuspecting individuals with plans for destruction, with desires for murder, to go on rampaging killing sprees. These demonic hordes will infect people to do murder suicides. Fathers who are downcast because they're unemployed and they see no hope. Individuals who are downcast because they've lost their life savings and they see no hope. So when they become sad and the despair arrives, Those evil demonic hordes take advantage of them. And folks, I know that this is not a nice thing to talk about. I know that this is not kumbaya and happy, happy, joy, joy, but this is the reality of the season that we are in right now. This thing is real, my friends. And I have warned that this is the reason that we all must get close to God. This is the reason that all of us need to learn the scriptures, learn of God's love and mercy, and get a hold of His peace. Why? So that you are not the statistic that makes history or is a tormented individual that is tempted to make history by doing things that are crazy. My friends, we are 11 days into this new year, and already we are seeing many of these events happen. And God let us know at the beginning of this year that we are in a new day. The birds and the fish are dead. The fish are rotting on the shorelines. The birds are falling out of the sky. And Hosea 4:3 says, therefore the land will mourn. Folks, God showed us that we are in a season of mourning. And already this sorrow and these events and sights of grief have visited. It's begun just 3 days ago, Saturday, January the 8th. Our year was just 8 days old. And now we had the first killing spree of horror to occur. Now, the news, of course, has given every spin of why. But, my friends, let me tell you why this happened. Why did this crazed person do what he did? And for those of you that wonder what I'm talking about the killing spree that occurred on Saturday at the Safeway parking lot, where a gunman shot Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords in the head, where she is still in the hospital trying to fight for her life. And he also shot many, many other people. And he killed 6 people, including a federal judge and a 9-year-old girl, during his mayhem in Tucson. Already there have been many quote-unquote experts explaining why this person did this, or trying to figure out why he did this. There is already a political spin on why he did it. There are already ignorant politicians shifting blame on the cause. Well, since he used a gun and he shot a Democratic congressman, then I'm pretty sure he was a Republican, so it has to be the Republican's fault. Or it's Sarah Palin's fault, because she has talked about the Democrats needing to be removed from office. There's a lot of blame here and there, but you know what, folks? You know whose fault it is? It's that 22-year-old gunman's fault, Jared Loughner. And it happened because great evil has been released upon the land. It's because great evil is upon this land. It's plain and simple, folks. The shooter allowed himself to give his soul to evil thoughts. Demons got a hold of him, and he committed these horrible crimes. This man murdered an innocent child and 5 others. And he also said that he rejected God, and he is angry that the words, "In God we trust," was on money. My friends, these crimes that he committed are greatly evil, horrible. And I wonder, are they going to classify him as insane, and he'll spend the rest of his life in some mental ward, even though he's possessed with demons? I don't know, folks. We live in an evil, fallen world, and this world finds ways to justify and make excuses for a lot of evil in individuals. Now, I want to talk about this individual for a moment, because I have already seen on the news channel, when they were discussing this event, some of the talking heads, especially, I'm not sure if it was on CNN or MSNBC, were blaming the Republicans, and they were blaming the right of guns for causing this murderous killing spree. So it's the NRA's fault, it's Republicans' fault, it's Sarah Palin's fault. Folks, that is absurd. This individual was, according to the news that is coming out, very disturbed, and he leaned to the left. Some of his favorite books were The Communist Manifesto and Mein Kampf, which is a book written by Hitler. But this individual was obsessed with the topic and the subject of mind control. And reports have come out that he behaved in very odd ways with his classmates when he attended college. There are reports from some of his fellow students that said when he was sitting in college class and the teacher would start talking, he would start rambling and ranting and asking the teacher whether they believed in mind control. So he was very psychotic. And you know, folks, it makes me wonder if this individual was actually a Manchurian type of MK Ultra experiment? Was he a programmed henchman designed to do such crazy things by some psychotic Doctor Who in a lab somewhere, funded by the black budget operations of the CIA and MK Ultra mind control? I don't know, folks. Perhaps he was, but then again, perhaps he was just a psychotic individual who got involved in satanic things. Based on his YouTube page, it sounds like he planned to get killed. He planned to die because he said that his video was going to be his last and final words. But of course, he was not killed. He was tackled by some other citizens that were around him, but it sounds like he was ready to die. I saw the police photograph, and if you have a chance to see it, the guy looks totally demon-possessed and psychotic. He shaved his entire head, he shaved his eyebrows, and his eyes look like they are without a soul. They look like they're empty and hollow, and that the demons have taken over him. So this individual was not normal. And that is the point that I'm trying to make. We are living in the time of mourning. Folks, I really, really believe that we have entered into a new time period. God has shown us already out of the gate that 2011 is going to be a time of languishing and mourning and turmoil. Hosea 4:3 says, "Therefore the land will mourn." And in order for the land to mourn means that there's something to mourn about. It doesn't mean that we're just mourning about not having our furniture anymore, or that our car got repossessed, or our house got foreclosed on. It's talking about mourning, grieving, because sadly, people have died. People have been killed, succumbed to injuries, to disease, to pestilence, and people have become the victims of evil men possessed by hordes of dark spirits. Folks, this thing is very real. And I know that in the natural, it sounds like, okay, Nathan's really talking wacko stuff now. What do you mean demons and evil and darkness and all this? Nathan, do you know how crazy that sounds? Yes, I do, my friend. I do know it sounds crazy. But look around. Look what's happening in the world right now. It's illustrating right now that it is the canvas of a divine hand in motion, bringing events and allowing things to happen to this world, because this world is now under judgment. And judgment includes turmoil. Judgment includes events that are dark. Judgment includes events that create mourning and sorrow and tears. And that's what I'm trying to relate right now, my friends. We are in that time period now. This individual that went on the killing spree is just the beginning. That's also what I'm trying to say. Nathan, are you saying this is going to happen every week? No, I am just saying, based on the milepost that God gave all of us, and for those of us that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, there's dead birds and dead fish. Okay, so we go to the scriptures, and it says, dead birds, dead fish, and it says, the beast of the field, the birds of the air, and even the fish of the sea will be taken away. But before that, it says the land will mourn. So that package goes together, my friends. That verse is a list of circumstances that go together. We are in the time period. We are in a new envelope, in a new season, in a new chapter. This thing is not going to go away. We are at the beginning of this thing. So was this shooter a Manchurian? I don't know. Was he on antidepressants? I don't know, folks, but this is the bottom line. The great darkness and evil has been unleashed throughout the land. And we are no longer in a normal time period. And to approach this time period that we are in with the old way of thinking will shortchange and deceive us. And also, as you prepare for what's coming, please know this, folks. You cannot just prepare in the natural, in the physical, in the flesh. You cannot just prepare by becoming Rambo. Oh, really? Well, Nathan, if you're telling me that those evil hordes are going to be walking around, I'm just going to do a lot of push-ups and jumping jacks and get buff and get a lot of bullets and I'll be ready for them. You know, folks, that's true that perhaps you could be ready for some of them. That's true, folks. Maybe you can. Maybe you can pop off a few rounds and flatten some zombies, flatten some of those hordes of thugs. But how do you stop those hordes and thugs from hurting your loved ones? Well, I'll protect them with my gun. What if you're not around? What if you're not available? You can't be everywhere at once. How are you going to do it? Well, it looks like we're coming up against the break right now. So after the break, we're going to continue with this topic. And also, we're going to talk about some more things about the season that we're now in. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Now, we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. And give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
And she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Watchman's Cry would like to say thanks to the sponsor of this program, Steve St. Clair of EnterHealth Botanicals. As an added bonus to our listeners, Steve is running a special from today, Tuesday, January 11th, through Sunday, January 16th. For the next few days, all of his products will have a 5% discount. This applies to everything except Berkey filters and products. So, to take advantage of this special, head on over to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnterHealth banner on that page. Be sure to use the coupon code WATCHMAN when ordering. That is survivetothrive.net, S-U-R-V-I-V-E, the number 2, T-H-R-I-V-E.net. We thank you for your participation and hope that you enjoy the rest of the program.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. You know, folks, it is good to prepare. I'm not saying to not be a protector of your family, because I believe that you're supposed to be a protector. I do believe that those efforts are valid, they are valiant, and they are important and expected of you. But my point is, please do not limit yourself to just physical preparation. Because to just do that in the physical and to deny the spiritual, you will fail without God. And the failure levels will vary. When I say God, I'm talking about Jesus, Lord and Savior. And I'm talking about repentance. And I'm talking about lifestyle changes. Nathan, why will I fail God if I'm Rambo and I haven't, you know, gotten close to God? I think I'll be okay. To a point, possibly you'll last a little longer, my friends. But here's what you will not have without God. The missing element that is going to cause the mayhem in the first place will also want to tempt you with the same thing. And here's what it is, my friends. As the days begin unraveling and getting darker and darker, there is going to be spirits and hordes and demons of mental challenges with the ability to affect your mind and your soul, your emotions. What I'm talking about is thoughts of oppression, thoughts of sadness, thoughts of turmoil, thoughts of peril, thoughts of terror, which are in complete opposite to thoughts of peace, to thoughts of faith, to thoughts of long-suffering. You see, folks, the only reason that people become members of hordes is because they have no peace. They have no love. They don't have the hand of God covering them to give them peace so that they will not worry and go out and do crazy things. Since they don't have the peace of God, they will instead go out and do crazy things. So if an individual is not a child of God and has not learned to get a hold of these very important elements, you see, folks, the biggest part of the battle occurs in the mind. It occurs inside of your mind, the flood of perilous and depressing thoughts. And most of you already know this. You know this because if some of you are already experiencing heartache from the economic crisis, from this depression, you know how hard it is to have peace and to not worry about how you're going to feed your family. If you're losing your house, it's hard to deal with. And a lot of thoughts are in your mind. It creates worry and fear. It creates anxiety where you cannot sleep, where you toss and turn and you lay in bed and think about what are you going to do. These thoughts can consume a person, my friends. And that's why I say over and over to get a hold of God and to learn to get a hold of God. Because, folks, I'm not just making this up. God is not just something that occurs intellectually in your mind. God is not just a happy thought. God is the creator of this world. He is a person. And to those that are his children, he can comfort you with peace and take away the worries and the anxiety. And my friends, it is a supernatural peace. It's worth more than all the gold in the world. It's able to do what the world cannot do. That's why I'm talking about it, folks. That's why you cannot just prepare physically. And by the way, if we are in the end times, if we are in the end of days, and if we go in the Bible and see what it says in there, if you happen to be a Rambo and you're not preparing spiritually, but you do admit we're in the end of days, let me throw this question out to you. If you're preparing physically but not spiritually, what do you plan to do when Jesus shows up and you're not prepared spiritually? That's going to be the biggest uh-oh moment in the history of humanity, because there's going to be a lot of people realizing that, uh-oh, Jesus just arrived and I'm not ready to meet him. That's why it's important, folks. So please do not put it off. Now, out of the six people that were killed in this shooting spree, one of them was a little 9-year-old girl. Her name is Christina Taylor Green. She was 9 years old. And, you know, folks, I know that six people died and it's very sad. But when I consider this little child being one of the victims, I have really, really found myself experiencing grief, and I have found myself having to go to the Lord in prayer and really, really pour out my heart. And over the past few days when I've come into my chamber to pray, I have actually been overwhelmed with sadness when I think about this girl that died. She was only 9 years old. You know, folks, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and the thought of a parent losing a child, it is something that I hope I never, ever, ever have to face. I know that there are some of you that have faced those things. Some of you have lost loved ones. You've lost your children. Perhaps you've lost a daughter or a son. And my friend, I really, really feel for you and the pain that you have gone through, because I cannot imagine how hard it must be to actually face that. But over the last few days when I've been seeking God, I actually found myself overwhelmed with grief several times when I was praying. This happened to me 3 times in a row. And right before I started recording this program, I spent some time seeking God. I was praying for about probably an hour. And a large portion of that time was, again, praying for the little girl's family and just feeling sad that she died. I even found myself asking God why. You know, folks, who are we to ask God why? But
I asked him, I said, God, why? She was only 9 years old. I don't understand. I really don't understand, God. And as I was seeking God and I said that to him, I heard his still small voice say something. His still small voice said, because these are the days of sorrow. That's why. Now, in my limited mind, it does not sound like a fair answer, but what God was really saying was, this is not going to be the last one that you're going to see this happen to. So in other words, dark days are upon us, very challenging days are upon us, and sorrowful days are upon us. You know, folks, as I looked at little Christina Taylor's life, there's a very interesting part of the story that I wonder if it has any significance. This is what it is. She was born on September the 11th, 2001, on the same day the World Trade Centers were attacked. Some of you probably already know this, but I find that very interesting that she was born then. Also, as a baby, she was featured as a young baby in a book called Faces of Hope. And what that book was about was the author went around America and took photographs of one child per state, and she put them in the book, to illustrate the future hope of America. Yes, the towers fell on September the 11th, on 9/11, but new babies have been born, and those new babies are our future, and they're our hope, because they're going to live their lives, and they're going to carry on the mantle and the banner of the American way of life. So basically the book was saying, we will go on. We're going to be okay. But this child did not go on. She died. And as I was lying in bed a few nights ago, I was just thinking about that. I was thinking to myself, she was born on 9/11. She represented hope, but now she's gone. And then I started wondering how long she lived exactly to the day. So I started calculating in my mind how many days she lived after her birthday. Her birthday was this last September 11th. She turned 9. And then I did the math, and this was what was also very interesting. She lived 119 days into her 9th birthday. So she was 9 years and 119 days old before she died. And if you were to write that down on a piece of paper, 9 and then 119, I find it interesting, folks, in her age and the amount of days she had, you have 9/11 going one way, and then when you go backwards, it's also 9/11. 9/11's in her age of death as well. And I'm not trying to make it mystical and weird, but she was the face of hope, and the face of hope has died. Folks, I'm not saying this just because Christina Taylor Greene died 3 days ago. My friends, we're in a new season. For a lot of people that just think things are going to turn around, this is temporary, the recovery is here, things are not permanent, it's not as bad as Nathan's saying, or those other voices out there, when instead the truth of the matter is that America has exceeded her stay, America's parking space is now expired, and the day of reckoning has arrived. Please know this, folks, the hand of God is in action right now. And there are many, many events that are approaching this nation and this world right now. Just in the last few days, we have been seeing the stories of Queensland, Australia, having epic, massive flooding. And you look across the world, we're starting to hear reports that the Gulf Loop has disengaged from the Gulf Stream. And because of that, the weather patterns are now becoming affected. The jet stream is now becoming affected. That's another story that I'm working on right now. I'm researching. So as a result, we're witnessing strange weather in Europe. The winters have become more dramatic. We're seeing some wild weather in America as well, folks. There's a lot of strange things going on right now. And my friends, we're in a time that needs to get your attention. We're in a time where every one of us need to step up to the plate and commit our lives to God and make some plans to face what's coming. 2011 is going to be dramatic. A lot of things are going to be occurring this year, and next year it's only going to get even worse. So the next few years, as they arrive, are going to progressively increase in magnitude. It doesn't matter how rich and famous you are. If you might be a celebrity that's listening to this program, and if you want to prepare, and perhaps some of the events happening right now are stirring your curiosity, maybe you're even telling yourself, well, maybe I'll make one of my vacation homes a hideout to go ride this thing out. And if you want to prepare your hideout with a bunch of stuff, God bless you. That's very wise to do that. But if you want to do it without including God, I'm sorry, my friends. You cannot have strength without God, because everyone's going to need mental and spiritual tenacity. Folks, great, great sadness is coming. I can't stress that enough. I have seen some prophetic dreams that are terrifying. Terrifying, my friends. And the only way to endure these things is with the hand of God in your life. As I was praying over the last few days and thinking about that young girl that died, and I was full of sadness, God reminded me of a word He had given me over a year ago. And those of you that have listened to these programs regularly, you've heard me talk about the prophetic vision that I had well over a year ago about liberty being decapitated. And when God gave me that warning, He told me to also share with everyone to pray for your loved ones and to lift up your children and to pray that you're not separated from them and to pray for their protection. God reminded me of that warning that I had back then. And God said, do you remember that verse in Lamentations? Go read it again. So I did. I went to the book of Lamentations in chapter 2, verse 19. I want to read this verse to all of you. And it says, arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Now listen to this, folks. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward Him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. And the book of Lamentations was written by the prophet Jeremiah when he saw the siege of Jerusalem finally happen. And he saw the judgment of God finally arrive. And he saw the people that were perishing and falling, dying of starvation. And as Jeremiah saw all of that, he wrote down, pour out your heart like water before God and lift your hands toward heaven for the life of your children. So even during the time of God's judgment, we have the capacity to still cry out to God for the protection of our loved ones. And that is a challenge that I want to communicate to all of you that are listening. We are in a time of great sorrow, and because we are in a time of great sorrow, I want to challenge you to really step up your efforts of prayer, because we never, ever can know when there's going to be some crazed maniac somewhere in a public place. And yes, my friends, evil is going to happen during this season. But if evil is going to happen, I want to challenge you, every one of you, because this is the challenge for myself. I am going to do everything I can to constantly and consistently to hold up my family members and to hold up my children for God's protection so that horrible events will not happen to their lives. Now, am I saying that this will prevent them from happening in the future? My friends, all we can do is have faith and try. That's all we can do. Nathan, are you saying that if events do happen to our loved ones, then we failed? No, that's not what I'm saying, my friends. All I am saying is just make an appeal to God, because it never hurts to make that appeal. Folks, you need protection in the season that's coming, and so do your little ones. You know, folks, I had some other information that I was planning to share, but I really feel that I need to just say a few things on the spiritual category, because right now, if we are in a season of languishing, I really, really need to communicate that there is hope for you, no matter where you are, and I want to challenge you to get strength from God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 13, it says, all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. So what does that verse mean? I know that there are a lot of listeners that are tuned in right now that do not attend church. And the faith level and the knowledge level of the Bible is all over the map with those of you that are listening. I know that there are some of you that perhaps would like to know more about God and you would like to know more about Scripture, but you have the handicap of you don't go to church or you just don't understand and spiritual things are just hard for you to understand. But you have been finding yourself getting more and more interested with spiritual things lately, especially as you watch all of these events happen. My friend, I want to say this for you. God can teach you Himself about His ways and His thing. And that's what this verse is saying in Isaiah 55:13. All your children shall be taught of the Lord. The Holy Spirit can teach you Himself where you are and where you live, wherever you are in this world. It can just be you and God and you and your Bible. He can do that for you, my friend. And if you make the effort to do that, the rest of that verse says, and great shall be the peace of your children. So I ask this question, and please don't answer this question with words of pretend. Who is God's child? Are you his child? Perhaps you are. I hope that you are. I'm sure that many of you that are listening are his child. But according to biblical statistics, some of you are not his child. You're not. And I also know that according to spiritual odds, some of you that are listening right now at one time used to be closer to God, but now you're dwelling from afar and you're watching God from a distance. You're observing God with curiosity. Perhaps the reason is because in times past you were hurt. Perhaps in times past stuff happened and you became disenchanted with the things of God, or you became confused. Perhaps you were betrayed by somebody. But my friends, if this is you, please continue to listen to what I'm saying. The Bible says that every one of us like sheep have gone astray. You know what that means? That means that every one of us have blown it. You're not the only one that has blown it. And I have been emailed by some that have strayed away from God. Some of you have emailed me and you've told me that at one time you were closer to God than you are now, and now you find yourself hungry and you want to return. And some of you are riddled with guilt, regret, and you're haunted by memories of the past. Perhaps you're haunted by memories of how it used to be, and you remember how it used to be. You remember that verse I just read used to happen in your life. The verse that said, and great shall be the peace of your children. You remember that peace. But now, for some of you listening, you no longer have peace. Some of you have lost that peace. And through it all, you have struggled and strived. And you look at the events that are happening right now, and you're scared. And you have fear. And you have that great nagging question eating at you. What am I going to do? My friends, that is a great beginning question. Because an inquiry is what we should all have from time to time. An inquiry that you can just put the word God in front of. God, what do I do? God, what am I going to do? My friend, all you have to do is change it to, God, what do you want me to do? My friends, God has a great interest in your affairs. He has a great interest in your life. And God has a great interest in helping to show you what to do. If some of you happen to be in that category and you're listening right now, and perhaps this is the first time you've heard this program and you were invited by a friend to listen to this. Perhaps a friend of yours said, hey, listen to this guy, Watchman's Cry. Or perhaps this is just random. You happened upon this program. Perhaps you've listened to a few programs. Perhaps you've heard the warnings and the information and the challenges. And so you're saying, now what? And some of you are away from God, but you find yourself with a curious tugging once again. And lately, perhaps you've noticed a growing hunger in your heart, deep inside your heart. And you've been hearing a little voice that's been saying to you, there's more. And you find yourself growing hungry for the things of God. What you're experiencing is not a random thing. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him to me, which includes everyone. If you feel that tug happening in your heart, that can only mean one thing. God is drawing you. God draws us to him. And today, he wants to draw all of us to him. He wants to draw you to him. He desires to touch individuals. He desires to renew the hearts of individuals. And he desires to strengthen lives of individuals. Now, earlier I read, and great shall be the peace of your children. My friends, in the present season, you and I are not going to just need a little bit of peace. Folks, you and I are going to need great peace. Great peace, my friends. How do you get that? It's real simple. That verse I read earlier in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19, said, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Folks, there is a great interest occurring right now with individuals that are wanting to know a lot of details of what's going on right now. A lot of people want to know about the New World Order, about the players of the New World Order. So they spend a lot of time listening to radio programs. They spend time bombarding themselves with these programs about things that are coming, and that is good, and I've talked about those things being good. But I also need to say this, my friends. Time needs to be spent preparing spiritually. And when I say prepare spiritually, I do not mean just have a pocket New Testament in your front pocket. Folks, I'm talking about spending time seeking God. So how do you do that? Well, if you live alone, it's simple. You go into your bedroom and you get your Bible. Maybe you put on some praise and worship music that will develop the atmosphere to pray to God. And you get on your knees and you open the scriptures, maybe to the book of Psalms, maybe somewhere else where God is leading you. And you read verses and you start to pray and you start telling him what your needs are and what your concerns are. That's what you do, my friends. Lamentation says, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Like water. What does that mean? That means that from the very deepest recesses of your heart, from the very deepest part of your inner soul, you're honest with God and you tell him what your need is, to the point where perhaps you will even shed tears. Pour out your heart like water, my friends. If you're scared, tell God you're scared. If you're tired, tell God you're tired. If it hurts, and if the shadows that come and haunt you hurt, then tell God that they hurt. And you lift your hands to him. And you tell him, God, I'm sorry for the failures that I have done. I'm sorry for not living the way that I know I should have. I'm sorry for the wasted days. I'm sorry for the wasted years. I'm sorry for the regrets. I'm sorry for giving you memories of my failure. God, cleanse me and forgive me. And I'm not talking about a one-time thing, folks. I'm talking about this thing, this regular conversation that you do with God. That's how you get to know God. That's how you get to hear his voice. That's how you communicate to him what your needs are. God, my children need you. God, protect my children. God, I fear for my children's health, for their lives. God, have mercy on my babies. And as you hold your hands up to heaven in the spirit, you're lifting them up to God. And you're asking God to take over their lives, to take over their affairs. And you're asking God to protect them supernaturally. You're asking God to intervene because they're away from him. You're asking God to touch them because they need a healing touch. And you ask God to take away that burden that they have. You ask God to erase the pain that they have. You ask God to break those shackles of bondage that they have. Or maybe the shackles that you have. My friends, this is doing business with God. And this is the real thing. When you encounter God and you experience God. And when you do this, when you really, really do this from the bottom of your heart, the scriptures say he will give great peace to his children. I want this peace for you, my friends. This is the peace that we need because we are in a time of great sorrow and mourning. And these perilous events that we experienced already are going to increase. So get in the habit of getting a hold of God, my friend. Get in the habit of daily offering up the fruit of your lips, talking to him. And if you might be an individual that's not a Christian, the same applies for you. You go in your bedroom and you give it all to God. You lift up your heart and you say, God, take my life. Forgive me for my sins. Take over my heart. Be my Lord and Master. And you get in the habit of praying to him regularly. My friends, God is waiting. He is waiting for you to go to that next level with him. Multitudes are in the valley of decision. And it is time to decide for God. It is time to decide to go to the next level. It is time to discover God in ways that you never knew. My friends, I leave you with this challenge. Hear it. Submit to it. Let it touch your heart. Let it change your lives. Let it cure you. And let it relieve you of famished leanness of soul. Father God, touch them. Touch every listener, God. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.